Do you believe in God? Do you know God? Do you know God well? Do you know God intimately? Do you serve God wholeheartedly? Keep your answers to these questions in the back of your mind as I read some descriptive statements that may help you get an idea of where you're at spiritually. As I read the statements, just make a mark in your bulletin for each one that you think speaks to you or is a statement that's true about you. I believe God loves everyone, but I sometimes struggle to believe that God loves me. If so, make that mark. I often feel disconnected from God. I pray when I need help, but I don't routinely spend time with God. I feel trapped in a cycle of shame about my past. I don't feel much need or desire to read the Bible. I sincerely believe in God, but I can't say I prioritize my life around Him. I don't feel the same devotion to God as I did when I first became a Christian. There are some things about me that I know aren't what they should be, but I don't know if I can ever really change. My belief in God doesn't seem to keep me from worrying a lot. My lifestyle, actions, and decisions don't always line up with what I say I believe about God. I don't talk about faith with people who don't believe in God. I don't experience worship or express praise to God in my daily life. I find it difficult to forgive people who hurt me. My sense of security is impacted more by how I am doing financially than by how I am doing spiritually. I believe in God, but I'm not so big on the church. I'm not sure my heart breaks for the things that break the heart of God. I tend to diminish or overlook my sins or failures rather than grieving them. I don't often experience a passionate desire to please God. It feels like a long time since I've heard God's voice or experienced God's leading in my life. I sometimes feel God is not fair. It's rare for me to feel completely surrendered to God. Sometimes I'm not even sure I want to be. Friends, I'm guessing, but I think most of us probably have a few marks on our bulletin. Now, based on the number of marks, give yourself a number between 1 and 10. If you have a lot of marks, you'll want to give yourself a low number, maybe between 1 and 3. If you think you marked about half the statements or so, give yourself a mid-range number, maybe between 4 and 7. If you made very few marks on your bulletin, give yourself a high number, maybe between 8 and 10. Are you still with me? Do you have a number between 1 and 10? That's not a rhetorical question. Just yell yes. If you gave yourself a low number, does this statement sound like you? I believe in God, but I don't know God. If you gave yourself a mid-range number, does this statement sound like you. I believe in God, but I don't know God well. If you gave yourself a high number, does this statement sound like you? I believe in God, know God intimately, and serve God wholeheartedly. Friends, this exercise is from a book I mentioned a couple months ago in my newsletter article, Christian Atheism, Believing in God, but Living as If He Doesn't Exist. Now, I'm not suggesting we're all Christian atheists. We do much to the glory of God. But there is a growing disparity in America between the faith we profess as Christians and the lives we live. That's a problem. God's desire is for us to love God intimately and serve God wholeheartedly. The reason we were given this precious gift of life to begin with was to love God. Until we do intimately and wholeheartedly, the rest of life will pale in comparison. As I said to the children, God wanted someone to love. This is the message of our reading from Genesis this morning. James Weldon Johnson captures this spirit in his beautiful poem, Creation. The poem begins with God saying, I'm lonely. I will make me a world. Now we have to be careful. God is God and doesn't need anyone or anything. So I'm not sure God can really be lonely, but God did choose to create light and dark, the world, heaven and earth, the seas and all therein, the creatures of the sky and water and land, human beings. None of this existed before God chose to create. God willed it all for a purpose. We are created to worship God, to love our neighbors, and to care for all of creation. We cannot live apart from God. God wills and God will have the love of all creation. God wills and God will have our love. How do we know this? We have met Jesus. In Him we see the truth about God in all its fullness. God is love. But long before we met Jesus, sisters and brothers saw God in the beauty of creation. One wrote this beloved poem in Genesis and its exquisite proclamation of the meaning and purpose of life. Another reflected upon the magnificent place God has bestowed upon us who, though insignificant in our own right, are made a little lower than God and crowned with glory and honor. Friends, don't stumble on the science. The creation stories in Genesis aren't pages from Adam's lab book. Adam didn't wake up one day and say, wow, I have to write all this down. The creation stories in Genesis are part of a story about 11 chapters or so that tells of life before Israel was born. Ancient Israel had no identity as a nation. They'd been slaves in Egypt for 500 years. Before Egypt, they were nomads living by their father's name, Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Freed from slavery, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Who were they? Where did they come from? Why were they here? They claimed God's promised land from the Canaanites. They created laws to govern themselves. They created rules to worship God. They created a history to give them an identity. They built the temple. They became God's people. The purpose of their creation was being fulfilled. They offered their lives and their love to God. Then came the Assyrians, followed by the Babylonians. The life they created, the city, the temple, all destroyed. Suddenly, everything was called into question. Why were they suffering? How could this happen to God's people? Who were they? Where did they come from? Why were they here? Written around the 6th century BC, our reading from Genesis is not a scientific or even historical account of the creation of the universe. This epic poem is a pastoral response to a theological crisis. God's people were living in the chaos and darkness of exile. All they believed about life and faith and God had been called into question. Some of you feel like that today. Where were they to find meaning and purpose in life? How were they to live in a world without God? Answering such questions, Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann suggests the Genesis account of creation is a story of hope, a story of meaning and purpose. He writes, the creation story served as a refutation of Babylonian theological claims. The Babylonian gods seemed to control the future. They had, it appeared, defeated the dreams of the God of Israel. Against such claims, the creation story asserts that Yahweh is still God, one who watches over his creation and will bring it to well-being. To despairing exiles, it is declared that the God of Israel is the Lord of all life. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. Yahweh is still God. My friends, reading Genesis, we won't find an historical account, scientific or otherwise, of creation. Nor will we find only the remains of ancient myths of how this world came to be. What we will find is a word of hope which changed the hearts and minds of God's people and can change our hearts and minds today. In times of deep despair and chaos, when all we hold dear and true about life and faith and God seems lost, we may be assured the God who took a risk and created us for love loves us still. As we wrap things up, I want to go back to something I said a few minutes ago. I opened by saying God's desire is for us to love God intimately and serve God wholeheartedly. Until we do love God intimately and wholeheartedly, the rest of life will pale in comparison. Now, that's not a new idea. I took it from the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Confession. What is your chief end? Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. And the Westminster Divines took it from the Apostle Paul. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's not a new idea. but I wanted to revisit it with you because you might have missed it the first time I said it. Or maybe you thought I was overstating it a bit. God's desire is for us to love God intimately and serve God wholeheartedly. Until we do, the rest of life will pale in comparison. Maybe you thought, Pastor Myers, you've lived in Traverse City long enough to know in life in Traverse City is pretty good with or without God. You know, after all, God's not Perry Hanna or Michael Moore. A lot of folks find better things to do on Sunday morning than go to church. Yeah, I get that. You don't need God to enjoy the bay. A lot of folks appreciate the views from Sleeping Bear Dunes without ever seeing God's creative hand in that work. The wineries, the breweries, the food, the festivals. We'd have none of it without God, but we don't see that. It's all great. But as good as all of that is, what if it could all be better? If an intimate, wholehearted love of God was at the center of our lives, might we enjoy life, even life in Traverse City, a little more? Consider what it might mean for the challenges we face in our families, the fears we have for the future, the emptiness we feel, even when we're surrounded by so much life and laughter. Might our joy run deeper? Might we look to the future with hope and not fear? Might we know that peace of mind and heart Jesus promises when we must face life's other side in Traverse City? Friends, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe the answers to all these questions is a resounding yes. Life is good. Life is precious. But we have no idea how good and precious life can be until we have placed God at the center. Beloved, God took a great risk in giving us life. Let's return the favor. If an intimate and wholehearted relationship with God still eludes you, take the risk of trying to love God just a little more. And when you do, don't be surprised to find you will love life, your family, your friends, yourself. You will love life a little more as well. Thanks be to God.